Welcome back. Welcome back to Table Talk. Pull your chair back up to the table. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Before the break, Brent, you read verses 27 through 30 and made note that it's God who's running the verbs.
Yep.
You know, it's good when God runs the verbs because he's running the verbs for us and for our salvation.
That's exactly, man, that was wonderfully said.
I'm done. You got the rest of it. You got 14 minutes.
Well, I'm
left.
Doing technical work here, so you've got to keep going here. I'm still trying to get us all set up for this recording, so keep going.
Folks, we need to get a video camera here so the subscribers to this program can watch.
Premium subscriptions.
Yeah, yes. Watch the circus that goes on behind the scenes. Brent is amazing. He's a multitasker. But back to the text. God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then, and he goes on with the whole list.
Right.
Anything that we should make of this first, second, third language?
Yes, let's see. I'm trying to find the verse. Oh, yeah, here it is, verse 28.
28.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, multitasking always gets me in trouble. Apostles, the church is built on the apostles, prophets, etc.
Mm-hmm.
This is how God started the church. And so apostles here, and that's a unique office. The apostles were those who had, of course, seen the resurrected Christ and had been with him since John the Baptist had been around, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yep. Catechized, went to seminary with Jesus, if you will, the Peripateto school of theology.
Right. And Paul was incorporated into that. So you had the 12 plus Paul, and that's the unique office upon which the church was built. And these men, so for example, when Jesus in John's gospel makes certain promises that when he gives the Holy Spirit, he will lead them into all truth. He's talking to the apostles.
Right.
He's not talking to you and me necessarily there. He's talking to his 12. The Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. And that's precisely what they were given. So after Pentecost, these are changed men. They finally get it. And they preach Christ crucified and risen, and they encourage everyone to believe in him. He truly is the Messiah. And as Peter does in Acts chapter 2, he says, now repent and be baptized, every one of you. So that was a special gift given to the church, and then that dies out.
Are all apostles? No.
No, of course not.
No.
That's the point.
Right.
Now, there is apostolic ministry in this sense. You and I are a part of apostolic ministry. We're not apostles. But we are in the apostolic ministry, which is to say the Lord Jesus Christ has put you and me and other men into the office of the holy ministry to do the work that the apostles did, namely to preach, baptize, etc. That's the point.
And that's the commonality here with apostles, prophets, teachers. All are preachers who speak forth the word of God.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
The propagation, the continuation of this ministry with this ordering, that this office which God has appointed continues on. There is an apostolic ministry, and yet there are still distinctions,
yes,
as you're mentioning.
Yes.
Not all are apostles.
That's right. And then prophets. Yeah, were there prophets? Yeah, there were. And did they get special direct revelations? Yes, they did. And then that fades away in the early church. And the reason for that is because you had the written word of God then.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the Gospels that were written. You have Paul's letters that are accounted for, etc. So
the foundation is laid.
Yes.
By that time.
Yes.
And therefore no need to build upon another.
Keep talking while I look up a Bible verse from 1 Peter to emphasize my point here.
Well, what do you want me to talk about? You want me to talk about the National League Championship Series?
You
want me to...
well, you may have to help me. Is it 1 Peter or 2 Peter that we have the Word of God made more
certain?
Certain. What is that?
I want to say that's 1 Peter, but...
Doing this just off the cuff, you know, just doesn't work.
Well... The whole back to who's running the verbs while you're paging through there, God appointing in the church. I mean, this comes right on the heels of God ordering the body. Everyone is each part of the body is unique, distinct, and yet it's not an island unto itself. It's part of the whole. It's part of the body.
Found it. It's 2 Peter. It's chapter 1. Yeah. Okay. Now notice. Peter says in verse 19, and I'm quoting this is from an apostle, and I said prophecy falls out. Why? Because there is the written word of God.
Right.
So 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place. He's talking about the written word of God now.
Yeah.
Paul's letters, Peter's letters, the gospels written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
So the foundation is laid. The foundation is laid.
Yes.
And he goes on, and there are other than things which God has appointed. And I guess one of the things, too, to notate here, even though he appoints them with all of these, there's no, well, like with the apostles, he doesn't say there will always be apostles. There's no promise given of those things. And so also, for instance, the gifts of healing. You know, we see this early on. We see this with the apostles.
Yes.
As they're doing the very same healings that Jesus himself had done.
Yeah. Another thing that's listed, I just want to talk about this. It's the end of verse 28, different kinds of tongues.
Mm-hmm.
That's not unintelligible language like we hear or see in some Pentecostal, quote, unquote,
ecstatic language, gibberish.
This is the same word for the Acts 2 tongues. These are languages.
That we might hear them. How is it that we each hear them in our own language?
That's what... I'm quite serious about this. This is no joke. When Paul talks about the speaking in tongues here later in 1 Corinthians and the different kinds of, it's languages. It's not what you see today in America and across the world with Pentecostal charismatic churches. That is an aberration, brothers and sisters. I want you to be aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
That is schismatic and sectarian. The tongues that is spoken of here in 1 Corinthians 12, again, is just like Pentecost, when the apostles could speak. It was a gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's say, for example, that Peter, at that time, while he preached, could preach in Arabic.
Which he had never studied,
exactly,
you know.
Exactly. Or another apostle preached in Egyptian. It was a gift of the Holy Spirit that they could do that. That's why then Paul says that to the Corinthians, you've got to have an interpreter.
And for what purpose was this special gift given? Was it so we could all stand back and go, ooh, Peter, you're something special? No, it was for the common good.
And in Acts 2, it was for the preaching of Christ crucified and risen so that people would believe in him.
Ah.
And so it was to
so that,
that
they
way
could hear the gospel.
That's exactly right.
And believe. And in so doing, the Lord added to their numbers those who were being saved.
I'm getting ahead of the game here, but on this same topic, it's a both and. It cuts both ways. The preaching in tongues in the New Testament, Acts 2, 1 Corinthians, a language, cuts both ways. For the preaching of the gospel, namely to create faith, but at the same time, it's also a judgment against those who do not believe. We'll get to that in another program, but I just want to whet people's appetites.
Not today.
I don't want to, I'll get way off topic on that.
Well, should we press on?
Let's do it.
So verse 31 is where I'm going to pick up. But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. You should see, we need video cameras here so you could see the look that was on Kuhlman's face.
Premium subscription. Why don't you work on that?
Yeah, you're the tech man. Did you want to comment on that before?
Well, what are the more excellent gifts? He's going to talk about it. This is chapter 13. He's been working up to it for a long time. Now he's going to finally pull his trump card out.
Well, he's, if I might use this language, I think he simply has laid a foundation for us, and he's going to build upon it now.
Yeah.
Okay. So, verse 13 then, or chapter 13, verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal.
Again, tongues, languages, like Acts 2.
And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Notice the things that he lists here as well.
Yeah.
These have been talked about, right? The prophecies, the understanding, the knowledge, the wisdom, the faith. These are all things that he's already talked about.
Now, I got to back up. What does he mean by, after he says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, what's that all about? Is this hyperbole? Or... Did people in the Corinthian congregation supposedly claim that they could speak in angelic languages, some heavenly language? Now let's just run for that. Let's say for the sake of the discussion, that
run, Forrest, run.
Let's say that is in fact the case. Now again, I'm doing this for the sake of the discussion.
Sure.
Let's assume that the members of the Corinthian congregation were claiming that we are superior to everybody because we can speak in not only languages of men, but heavenly angelic language. Now, if that's the case, this would help us understand why Paul has to deal with physical issues in the congregation, like marriage. Because, you know, if you're a Corinthian and you claim to have these heavenly gifts of speaking an angelic language that nobody else has, well, then you can do anything you want with regard to any physical thing. Not just language, but things of the body, physical things, like marriage, human sexuality, etc. So we can do whatever we want.
Notice how all this then dovetails with what we mentioned. I don't remember if it was earlier in this program or last week, what it means to be human as well. It's really this claim to have these words from the angels is an excuse to not be human, right?
Well, that could very well be the case. Now, that's one argument that's made.
Sure.
One scholar makes that case and contends for that. I think his last name is Fee. It's spelled F-E-E. He's got a commentary in 1 Corinthians. And he's convinced that that's what's going on here. That may be. Another thing that could be, the answer could be that Paul's just simply hyperbole here saying, you know, come on.
Sure.
Come on.
Okay. Or the giving of the law, the comment and the reference there through angels. Could be. But, you know, I think Fee's argument, there's some plausibility because the other things that Paul mentions here are the things that he's mentioned before. And he
Correct.
Doesn't just pull these out of the air as, you know, these are real life examples, most likely, of what's going on in the Corinthian congregation.
It could very well be. I just wanted to throw that out. But keep in mind, remember that with regard to how people dress and how they act in worship, remember that Paul said, don't forget about the angels who are there. You know, when you're in church, you're in the presence of the angels. I'm just throwing that out just for fun. But notice, if I have all these things, but I don't have love, well, I'm a what? I'm a resounding gong, a clanging cymbal. In other words, I'm making a mess of it all.
Because what does love do? Or let me ask, I'm going to ask that differently. What is the direction of love?
Well, with the Corinthians, it was to themselves. It was inward. It was the navel.
Loving of self.
For yep. the edification of the self. And that's the old Adamic way, and that's the way in which we live.
And Paul's turning them inside out.
Yeah, I mean,
repenting them.
I mean, seriously, read the novels, read the books today and talk about love. And love is all about what? Take care of yourself. You gotta love yourself first. Seriously, the experts always say that you gotta love yourself first before you can love others. Really? You know, and this gets dragged
Which
into...
Which is just another way of saying you have to be your own savior. You can't trust anyone else.
Notice how it also goes another way. You've got to forgive yourself. Oh, really? Really? I didn't know that. Oh, so it's all backwards. But Paul's point is, no, it's just the opposite.
Backwards. I wanted to bring this up earlier, too. What God has joined together, the devil separates. Where God has made distinctions, the devil tries to blur the lines.
Yep, that's right.
We have the same thing going on.
Well, then he talks, we got another about a minute real quickly,
a
right?
A minute, yep.
Well, let me just call attention. Starting with verse 4, when he says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast. It's interesting. If I remember correctly, those are verbs. It's all verbs. It's not adjectives. These are verbs. Very. So just watch that. Love is patient. It does, or long-suffering is one of the other translations.
Right.
It's not short, it's long-suffering. You put up with stuff. We don't put up with anything, do we?
Well, he's looking at me again. So once again, we'll try to have those video cameras installed by next week. No, folks, don't wait for that. Good to have you again on Table Talk this week. We hope that you'll check back in every week and give a listen as we read the scriptures for understanding.